Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tech Ed Friday. I know it's early. I know that it's 8:30. This is the first session, but I do want to go ahead and get started. I'm sure people are going to keep coming in as we get started. So, you know, if you can make room, be welcoming, that'd be great. But we do have a lot of material, so I do want to get started. My name is Edward Thompson. I'm a software engineer at Microsoft. I work on Git. How many people are using Git right now? How many people think they might want to start using Git and that's why they're here? Great, great. Git, of course, is built into Visual Studio and Team Foundation Server now. That's what I work on at Microsoft. I actually work on the Git repository management libraries, kind of the low-level nitty-gritty stuff. I don't work on the UI. I work on the stuff that nobody actually sees. I'm glad they let me out to come talk to y'all about Git. I'm very happy to be here. I also write about Git a lot. I was very fortunate. I was invited to contribute to the new book, Professional Team Foundation Server 2013. I wrote the Git chapter of that book. It's a great book. Highly recommend it. The Git chapter is even okay. The rest of it's amazing. The Git chapter is only okay. I did my best. I actually, like I said, I work on kind of the low-down, nitty-gritty core of our Git management in Visual Studio. And so what I actually write about is how Git works behind the scenes a lot. So if you're interested in the low-level details, how commits get written to disk, and stuff that is actually really kind of interesting, but sounds like it might not be, you can check out my blog, edwardthompson.com, and I'm on Twitter at ethompson. Okay. So, real quickly, how many people are using Team Foundation Server now? Wow, a lot of hands. Great to see that. I'm very excited. For those of you who aren't using TFS, aren't familiar with TFS, really quickly, Team Foundation Server is Microsoft's, we call it an application lifecycle management platform. What that means is we want to bring all of the tools you need to develop software under one roof. So we've got version control so that you can store your source code assets in Team Foundation Server. We've got work item tracking so that you can store your bugs, your tasks, your project backlog inside Team Foundation Server. We've got build and test integration so that you can perform continuous integration from within Team Foundation Server. And once you have a build, you can store that information. You can store the test results inside Team Foundation Server. And when you store this all in one program, you're able to integrate these tools in a way that gives you some really interesting benefits. So when I check in a piece of source at work, I have to associate it with a work item. Somebody wants to know why I'm checking in code. So I either associate it with a bug. If I'm fixing a bug, I associate it with a task. If I'm working on something off the backlog. And then whoever, let's say I checked in a bug. When I do that, the tester who's validating my bug fix can pull up the bug report, can actually look at the link right back to the change set that I checked in, and they're able to get all the information about the files that I changed to fix the bug. They may be able to then take a look at the bug fix and realize it's not correct, realize that maybe I hadn't missed some corner case that they can take a look at. And that's all because you get that linking of these assets in Team Foundation Server. So very, very powerful. Recently we also launched Visual Studio Online, which is our hosted version of Team Foundation Server. Team Foundation Server is the name of the on-premises product. If you install it in your data center, Visual Studio Online is hosted in Azure, hosted by Microsoft. We take care of the hosting. We take care of all the backups, all the management, all the hard stuff that if you don't want to put it in your data center, you don't want to have to deal with. The other great thing about Visual Studio Online is you get frequent updates. We work on a roughly 3-week sprint cadence at Microsoft on the Visual Studio team. As soon as we're done with that 3-week sprint, we publish that right to Visual Studio Online. So you're seeing new features as soon as we're done developing them. Okay? It's very, very exciting. It's kind of a new way to deliver software for us at Microsoft. We're very excited about it. I'd really recommend that you take advantage of that. Okay. So Team Foundation Server is not a new product. Visual Studio Online is much newer. TFS itself is not all that new. We've been around since 2005. And so sometimes we struggle with what to do next. You know, we've got great version control. We've got great work item tracking. At some point, a couple of years ago, we were sitting on a phone call with a couple of my coworkers and I, and we were trying to figure out what to do next. I was in my office. At the time, I lived in Chicago, Illinois. I was talking to one of my coworkers. His office was in Raleigh, North Carolina. Another one of my coworkers, he's in Northern Ireland. And we were sitting on the phone, and we were talking about all the stuff we'd done, all the great stuff we'd done in Team Foundation Server. And the one thing that was always a problem for us was the fact that our version control server was at Microsoft headquarters in Redmond, Washington. TFS is great. TF version control is great. But it helps a lot, like most, you know, version control servers at the time, it helps a lot if you are close to the server on the network. If you're not, things get a little bit slow. And talking to a version control server that's slow means that you're slow as a developer. And that's no fun, right? That's not a situation we wanted to be in. And what we were thinking about was the fact that the TFS team itself is really very distributed. You know, just the three of us on the phone call were in different places and weren't anywhere near our server, but we've also got people elsewhere. You know, I'm now in Boston. We've got people in California, in Pittsburgh, in, I'm not actually sure where, somewhere in Denver or around there or something. I can't even keep track of where everybody's going. But we are all over the map. Okay? And as I'm talking to my coworkers, we're talking about this problem, we're trying to figure out what to do, and one of them just busts out, hey, maybe we should be using a distributed version control system. And we laughed. We thought this was hilarious. Because at Microsoft, we have a philosophy of always eating our own dog food. The Windows team uses Windows to build Windows. The Visual Studio team uses Visual Studio to build Visual Studio. The TFS team can't go use distributed version control to build TFS. We have to use TFS version control, right? So we were laughing about this. And then my coworker says, hey, what if we actually write a distributed version control system? And we actually stopped laughing at that point, because we thought this was actually a really clever idea. Okay, this was, I don't know, 2010 or so. At the time, there were a number of distributed version control systems. We decided we didn't want to write our own. There were a couple in use, a couple of open source projects, some commercial. All of them were interesting. All of them were good. All of them had different trade-offs. But what we didn't want to do was bring another distributed version control system into the mix. We wanted to use something that was already in use by the community, already popular, already proven, instead of coming up with some crazy Microsoft technology where you've got to install SQL Server on your dev box in order for it to synchronize across the network. No, we didn't want to do that. So we looked at a couple of options. First, we looked at, before I actually talk about that, let me do say, what is distributed version control? We talked about how we want a distributed version control. Maybe I should actually explain what that means. So what are different kinds of version control systems? You've got what's called a checkout edit check-in system. A checkout edit check-in system is the kind of system that you probably don't like using as a developer. If you use TFS and you say, boy, I hate TFS version control, it's probably because you're using this mode. Checkout edit check-in system, you've got the files are often read-only until you explicitly check them out from the server. Then you can make some changes and check them in. There's a lot of friction in using this, but it turns out that these kind of systems are actually really great for very large code bases. When we built TFS, we built it first for ourselves and other people facing the kinds of scaling problems we had with version control. So these sorts of systems scale really, really well. It doesn't have to go looking on your hard drive to see what you've changed because you explicitly check a file out. And when you've got like a 4 gigabyte source enlistment to build Visual Studio, this is amazing. People often ask, why is Visual Studio 4 gigabytes? And you got to remember, it's not just an IDE. It's also a C compiler, the C runtime, the .NET framework. And to build a C compiler, you have to have a C compiler. So we've got to check in the C compiler. You know, we've got this bootstrapping problem. So our source tree is just massive. And so we built TFS to scale to that. And it does. And it does a very good job. But it's not a lot of fun to use if you're not on the Visual Studio team and don't have a 4 gigabyte source code repository. So in TFS 2010, we introduced what's called an edit merge commit type system. This is what you'll see with Subversion, a number of other products, where you don't have to explicitly check out files. Okay? What we do is we scan the file system looking for changes, trying to figure out what changes you've made locally, and then we can talk to the server. This is great if you've got a big, but not insanely massive, source tree. Okay? And these are great too, but you still talk to the server a lot. You talk to a central version control server. So now these are called centralized version control systems. Okay? That's very different than what you see with a distributed version control system, which is what we decided we wanted to put in an upcoming version of TFS. A distributed version control system doesn't need a central server anymore. You still often have a central server because you... Let's face it, this is a best practice. You need somewhere to put your code that gets backed up. You need somewhere to put your code that everybody can get to, right? You need to be able to collaborate with your coworkers. So you still have a central server. This is where your continuous integration gets done. It's just that you don't need a central server with a distributed version control system. They're very flexible. Everybody gets a full copy of the repository. And the first time I heard this, I was like, what? That's crazy. That's not possible. I was waiting for the but. I was waiting for the if. But no, everybody gets a full copy of the repository. All of history you get when you start working with a distributed version control repository. It's all on your local disk. Everything you do is local. Even committing. So when I make changes to my project, in a centralized version control system, in TFVC, in Subversion, when I make a change, I check it in. It goes to the server. The server takes that change, creates a new change set, and publishes it for everybody to see all at once. Right? This is a single step. In a distributed version control system, you break down those two steps. So I can commit, and it goes to my local repository. I can actually commit several times, and all these changes go to my local repository. And when I'm ready to share those with my collaborators, that's when I do the publish step. Okay? So it actually breaks down these two steps, which is a really powerful system. It allows you to make changes that you wouldn't necessarily make because you can commit them quickly. You can discard them quickly. So it allows you to be a little bit more risky with your source code, knowing that it won't necessarily impact the product. It also gives you a simplified branching model. If I'm committing everything locally, I need to be able to branch locally and merge locally. And so I can do that in a distributed version control system, which gives you a lot of power also. I'm more willing to create branches because it's simple. In TFVC, creating a branch is not simple. It requires administrator privileges. You've got to download some stuff. You've got to then check some stuff in. Best case, it takes a minute. Worst case, it takes an hour. In Git, it takes seconds. Not even seconds. You know, as fast as you can write 40 bytes to the disk. That's how quick it is to branch in Git. So when you can branch easily, you tend to also merge easily. You avoid the sort of big bang merges that come from using TFVC. If it takes me weeks to merge a branch, I'm going to have a lot of conflicts. I'm going to not want to merge branches anymore. I'm not going to want to branch anymore. I'm going to want to try to keep everybody in a single, you know, straight line, everybody in the same branch. If branching is easy, then you're more likely to do it. You're more likely to merge more often. You avoid these sort of, we call them big bang merges. The big bang is usually your head hitting the desk when it happens, because they're that bad. Distributed version control is not, it's amazing in many ways. It's not perfect. It's better for smaller modular code bases. We could not fit Visual Studio, and it's 4 gigabytes of just what we need to check out to build it, we could not fit that in distributed version control. Because again, you've got a copy of every file that's ever been in the repository, because you've got all of history locally. Okay, so it's best for smaller code bases. We'll talk a little bit about how maybe you can get a large code base there in a minute. So we decided we wanted a distributed version control system. We decided that it had a lot of benefits for us, for our team, and hopefully for our customers as well. So we started looking around at what was available at the time. When we started looking, Mercurial was the obvious choice for us to use. Mercurial is a really cool system. It's really great. It's got great Windows support. And that was its biggest selling point for us at the time, was it had amazing Windows support. We put it in CodePlex. CodePlex is our open source hosting site. So we put Mercurial support into CodePlex. Everybody was happy. And a couple of people were still asking for a different project called Git. But we were convinced that we were going to put Mercurial into Visual Studio. But we thought we should look around before we just pulled the trigger. So we looked at Git. Git was another distributed version control system. Git was invented by a guy named Linus Torvalds. If that name sounds familiar, it's because he also wrote the Linux kernel, another amazing piece of technology. The thing about the Linux kernel is, and the thing about Git is, that when Linus wrote Git, he did it so that he could develop the Linux kernel. Linus doesn't care so much about using Git on Windows. He cares about using Git on Linux. So Git works great on Linux. It's less great on Windows. In fact, when you install Git for Windows, you get a little Unix subsystem, because a lot of Git is written in shell scripts. A lot of Git is written in Perl or Python or scripting languages. So in order to run Git on Windows, the Git for Windows installer, the MSI, actually drops Perl and Python interpreters, a bunch of Unix tools like sed and awk and other three-letter utilities that even I don't want to run on Windows, and I actually grew up on Unix. So there's a lot of friction in Git on Windows. So we pretty much ruled that out. We were like, well, we won't ship Git on Windows. That seems crazy. The other thing we looked at was a tool called Veracity from a company called SourceGear, which we were very excited about, mostly because a lot of us had actually worked at SourceGear and been in the planning meetings for Veracity before we went to Microsoft. The problem with Veracity was that it wasn't quite ready yet. They were still working on it, still developing it. Meanwhile, we wanted to move a little bit more quickly. We were really impressed with what we saw. They were building a great, very modular code base, a very clean system. It certainly didn't call out to any shell scripts or sed or awk or anything like that. So we put this in contention. So we were thinking Mercurial first, Veracity second, Git was not even in the running. But we also looked at some data about what people were using. And it turns out that Git was pretty popular, and Mercurial was also sort of popular, and Veracity, of course, was still being developed and nobody was using it yet. And we got an updated poll, and it showed that Git was growing and Mercurial was actually kind of staying the same. And we thought that Mercurial was really popular on Windows, but even that wasn't enough to drive its adoption, because it turns out there was a little company called GitHub that was building a really amazing website that allowed people to collaborate using Git repositories, and they were just driving the adoption of Git through the roof. No matter how popular Mercurial was on Windows, it was not popular enough to stem the tide of Git. Okay, this is not obviously accurate data. This is just something I whipped up. Okay, but besides Git being so popular, the other interesting things we were seeing with Git were that people were using it as a deployment protocol. Instead of FTPing your website up to a server, people were pushing their Git repositories up. Okay, the same way that I can push my local Git repository up to my source control server, I can push my Git repository up to Windows Azure, and it will actually deploy just from my Git. It's a really cool way to do deployments. It fits into the developer's workflow so naturally that this was something we knew we had to embrace. Okay. The other great thing about Git was that it has good support across platforms. Obviously, we know how to build Windows software at Microsoft. We do a pretty good job of that. What we don't always do a great job about is building software for the Mac or for Linux. We try really hard on the TFS team. We do have cross-platform clients for TFVC. We've got a plugin in the Eclipse IDE. We take cross-platform very seriously in the TFS team. But Git has already done all the hard work for Linux, for FreeBSD, for Mac, because that's what the community cared about first and foremost, was getting a good Unix client. Okay? And if it's a little clunky on Windows, that's something that we can help fix, because we're actually pretty good at that. So after taking all of this data that we had about distributed version control systems and really thinking very hard about it, we actually decided that we had to go with Git. So we put Git into VS 2013 and into Team Foundation Server 2013, and we could not be happier. We like to say that, you know, Visual Studio loves Git. Okay? Let me take a look at what this looks like. Here I have, I just have a project here in Visual Studio Online. This is the project's dashboard. This will look pretty familiar to you if you're using VS Online, if you're using TFS 2013, if you're using an older version of Team Foundation Server, welcome to the new, the 2013. It's amazing. The web access is much improved over previous versions. If I come up here and go to the code tab, I've got just a little .NET project in here. This is going to look very familiar to you if you're using TFVC now. On the left-hand side, we've got the sort of the project hierarchy. In the center, I've got the current directory that I'm navigating to. I've got some information about the last change that affected this file, the date, and the commit message. Okay, very similar to what you see with TFVC. We wanted to make sure that this was very familiar if you're using TFVC, that a Git repository in VS Online would look very similar. Okay, I've got the contents. I've still got the history tab up here. This will show me all the changes to my project that have happened over time. Okay, just like in TFVC, I can drill down. If I navigate through my directory hierarchy, I can pick a file. If I click on that, it's going to open it up. This is the Monaco editor. So I've got the same, you know, rich viewing and editing of files that I have across Visual Studio Online and across Team Foundation Server. I've got syntax highlighting because it knows this is C# code. I'll get, you know, variables highlighted, stuff like that. Okay. I can also get the history of a single file here and drill down. I can get a comparison window, so I get a nice inline diff of what changed in the last commit to this file. If I prefer side by side, I can get that as well. And I get a nice rich diff showing me exactly what changed. Okay. If I pop back to the contents of my repository, there we go. One of the things that you'll notice that is different in Git than in TFVC is this button up here in the top right. Okay? I've now got this button that says clone. I mentioned earlier that every Git repository has a full copy of history. So we talk about them as being clones of one another. There's nothing fundamentally different about the Git repository I have on my server versus the one that I have on my local machine. They've both got full history. They've both got all of the information. So we talk about it as a clone of one another. So if I click this button, what it does is it gives me a little pop-down, and it's got the URL of this Git repository. So if I was using a command line client, if I was on Linux or Mac, this is the URL that I would actually use to clone my Git repository. We can take a look real quick at what that looks like. I've got a little Linux virtual machine. Okay. And if I wanted to clone my Git repository on Linux, I run git clone. I paste in that URL. I click enter. It's going to ask me to authenticate. Unfortunately, this Linux VM isn't Active Directory joined. If it was, actually, we can do single sign-on across. So if you have a Linux or a Mac VM that is in Active Directory that has Kerberos credentials, this is totally seamless. I can just press enter here. Instead, I've got to type in my username and password. And when I do, you're going to see one of my favorite Easter eggs in Team Foundation Server. It's also the only Easter egg I know of in Team Foundation Server. We're not supposed to put Easter eggs in. And that's a little ASCII art logo of the Visual Studio logo. Okay, so we thought we'd have a little fun with the Linux users, the Mac users, who aren't used to seeing the Visual Studio logo so much. Okay, so we've got great support across platforms by using Git. Fortunately, if you're in Visual Studio, you don't have to copy and paste this long URL. You don't have to worry about doing this from the command line. We've got great integration right there. Okay, so if I get this out of the way, and I come back over, here I am in Visual Studio. If I go to the Team Explorer, we've integrated Git into the Team Explorer just like the rest of Team Foundation Server. If I click the little connect button to connect to a team project, then select team projects, I can navigate to my visualstudio.com account. It's going to take just a second, and I'm going to select the team project that I'm interested in. In this case, it's this one called Git Demo. Click connect, and that's going to open up all of my options on the Team Explorer tab. The cool thing about Git is if I click back on the Connect to Team Projects page, what it's done is I've got all the information about my directory hierarchy on Visual Studio Online. I've now got that information displayed right here. One of the great things I can do is I can just right-click on a project. This is a Git repository right here. Right-click and say clone. Don't have to worry about that URL. It fills that in for me. I just decide where I want to put it on my local disk. This will be fine. Click clone. And it's just going to go ahead and bring it down. What it doesn't do is show me the little ASCII art logo of Visual Studio, but can't have everything. Okay. If I double click on that now, it'll take me back to the Team Explorer page, and it'll actually light up some new things now that I've got this Git repository downloaded locally. One of them is down here as a solution. It goes and looks in a Git repository that you clone. It finds the solution files and offers them up. If I double click on that, it'll take me right to this solution in Solution Explorer. There we go. So now I've got all this information about my solution. And if you... Let's open up this, and if we zoom in a little bit, one of the things that you might notice is over next to the file name, we've got a couple glyphs that show file status. The blue lock tells us that this is in source control. So this is actually a file in my Git repository. If we had other files hanging out, they wouldn't have this lock. This glyph will change over time to tell you the status of the file, just like what you see in TFVC. Okay, so if I actually just want to make some changes to this file, just add a comment, and when I do that, the glyph changes. If I zoom back in, you'll know that the highlighted file has a red check mark indicating that it has been changed. Okay. I also get some more interesting data about my changes. If I go back to Team Explorer and go to the Changes tab, if I scroll down, I've got this list of included changes. These are the changes that I've made locally that will be included in my next commit. I don't have to have made these changes in Visual Studio. If you're used to TFVC with TFVC server workspaces, your files are read-only. We have some hooks in Visual Studio so that if you start editing them, we'll listen for that event and we'll go ahead and check it out from the server for you. So we've got nice integration there. With Git, we actually just watch the file system. We set up a little background job that watches the file system, listening for kernel file system events. Anytime you make a change to a file that is under Git source control, even outside of Visual Studio, we'll notice that and we'll refresh this list of changes. It's very cool, great integration. Okay. I've also got integration right in the editor window here. If I right-click, I can come down to source control. I can view the history of the file. I can annotate the file. This is what we call annotated history, or sometimes you'll hear it called blame history. It'll show you who changed each line of a file. So if you want to understand not just who, it also shows you when and why. That's why it's called blame. Sometimes people use it to figure out who introduced the bug and not how the bug got introduced. That's why we call it annotate. We'd like to worry less about the blaming and more about the actually solving the problem and understanding the problem. You can also compare from here. This will be similar to what you saw in Visual Studio Online, where we've got the side-by-side diff view. So this shows me that I've just introduced that line of code. Okay. The comparison that we just did is super fast. All this information is, again, right on my local file system. When I did that clone, it pulled down all of the history of the file. So if I'm in the file, if I right-click, come down to source control, and I say view history, this doesn't have to hit the server. This goes right to my local disk. This is just as fast as could possibly be. It doesn't matter if I'm in Chicago and my version control server is in Redmond, Washington. It could be in Antarctica, for all I care. Viewing history of the file is very, very fast. Okay. Let's come back to the changes page over here. And if I scroll up, I'm now able to type a commit message and actually do the commit. And again, this is just committing locally, but when I do, now that commit button lights up. And I could go ahead and check this in, but what I want to do is I want to show off the linking capabilities of Team Foundation Server. Again, version control is great, work item tracking is great on their own, but it's the integration that we really care about. So I can get all my work item queries out of TFS right from here. I click queries. I can run a query. Look at all of the bugs that I have assigned to me right now. I'm going to look at bug 72, fix a bug at TechEd Europe. I can drag it right over here into this space. I could enter the work item by ID if I remembered it. At Microsoft, our work item IDs are getting kind of long, so we can't really keep track of them. So normally in my workflow, I just drag and drop. There we go. So now, what happens when I commit this? I'm just committing locally. The work item, however, is on the server. So I've got this message telling me that my commit was created locally. If I go back to Visual Studio Online, click on history of my project, I'm not going to see this information. Okay? The last change was way back in May. So this commit really does just exist locally. If we wanted to go and look at the work item, we would see that it's also not updated. Okay? Which makes sense. If I'm fixing a bug, I create a commit that fixes the bug, it goes to my local repository. I don't want the bug, the actual work item in Team Foundation Server, to get updated until I upload that information to the server. Right? Because I haven't fixed the bug until it lands in the server. Okay? So if I go back to Visual Studio, it's telling me that I can sync to share my changes. Again, this is the two-step commit locally and then publish process that I mentioned before. If I click sync, it takes me to a page telling me all of the information that I can send to the server. If I scroll down, these are the outgoing commits, i.e. the commits that I need to send to the server that it doesn't have. If somebody else had checked in to the server and pushed to the server, it would show in incoming commits. Unfortunately, there's nobody else working on this project right now. It's only me. So there isn't anything incoming. Okay. If we scroll back down, though, we can analyze all the commits that we're pushing up. Again, we don't just check in once and push it. We can check in multiple times. This allows us to get a nice granularity. We don't have to worry too much about refactoring's gone wrong. Sometimes when you start making a bug fix, you realize that the scope is growing, perhaps much quicker than you'd like it to. And you start thinking about how big your change set is getting. With Git, you don't have to worry about that. You can just commit at logical times. You can roll back. You don't have to worry too much about the fact that nobody's going to see this yet. Right? The reason that your large change sets become oppressive in TFVC is because you can't check them in because they're not until they're done, right? You don't want to share this with people until it works, until it's tested. But at the same time, you've got a lot going on in this change set. In Git, you can check in locally at times that make sense to you, even if it's not 100% done, 100% ready to be shared, because you don't have to share it until you're happy with it. Okay? When I am ready to share this data, I can come up here and click push. That'll push my commit up to the server. Now when I come back to my project on Visual Studio Online, click refresh, and it's going to show me this change I made just 3 minutes ago. Okay? I can drill down into the commit. If I click on it, again, it'll bring up this nice Monaco diff editor showing me the changes that I've made. Tells me that I've associated a work item with it. Once it gets pushed up, that work item association does happen on the server. If I click on the bug, we can see that linking from the source changes I made from the commit to the work item. But of course, our linking is bidirectional. So if I'm on the work item, I can scroll down, click on links, and now I can go to the commit. So if I'm a developer, if I'm worried about the source code, I'm interested in the work item association. If I'm a manager, maybe I have a work item view of the world. I'm worried about tasks and how they get done. If I'm a test manager, maybe I have a bug view of the world. I want to look at the bug list and what changed them. So this bidirectional linking is great. When I double click, I can go right back to the commit information. Again, we don't just have linking between Git repositories and work item tracking. We also have linking between Git repositories and build and test and our continuous integration. So if I come up here to the build tab, if I click on queued, when I push that change up, it queued a new continuous integration build for my project. Okay, it was queued 2 minutes ago. It's not a particularly big project. This shouldn't take very long to finish. It's going to perform my build, run all my tests. Once that's done, it'll show up in completed. I'll be able to download the binaries. I'll be able to view all the test reports. All that information, again, still in Team Foundation Server, tight integration between source code and build and test. Okay. So that, you know, real quickly, that was how to check in, how to make changes, which is sort of the minimum necessary to have a version control system. Okay, if you can't version your changes, you don't have a version control system. But I would say that the next most important part of any version control system is being able to branch and merge effectively. And this is where Git really shines. This allows you to have, of course, parallel lines of development. I can work on a bug fix while my coworker's working on some new feature integration, and we don't block each other. We can work on this all at the same time. Git is really cool in that because you get all the history, you tend to have much smaller repositories, and it's actually very simple to branch and merge, to switch branches, because you're working with a smaller repository as a whole. Okay? You don't have branches inside of a Team Foundation server version path space where it gets very complex. You have to manage workspace mappings. You have to change the workspace mappings when you branch. You have to update your continuous integration. Branches in Git are actually at the repository level instead of being at the path level. So when I cloned my repository, I got the default branch checked out. It's called master by default. It's actually very easy for me to create a new branch. If I go back to the Team Explorer home, click on branches, it'll tell me that I have the master branch checked out. If I zoom in, it shows me that I'm on branch master. It's in bold. It's in the branch dropdown up there. Super easy to create a new branch. It's right above that is a dropdown that says new branch. If you're creating branches in TFVC, you need to have a permission to do it. Maybe you need to ask a server administrator to do it. You probably have to update a bunch of CI settings so that they point to the new server workspace mappings you just set up. Kind of complex. In Git, super simple. It's right there. Everybody can create a branch. This creates just a branch locally. So this doesn't pollute the server until you explicitly push it up. Everything's local in Git. I'm going to create a new branch. I'm going to call it new branch. You'll notice this checkout branch checkbox is checked. That's checked by default. What that means is that as soon as I create this branch, I'm going to switch to it. Okay. So when I click create branch, now you see that my bolded branch changed to new branch, which means I am now on this branch. Everything that I commit will be on this branch. And I'm ready to start working. If I switch back to this file that I've been working on, I can add a new comment. Okay. Go back to the changes page, commit it. And now if I go back to the branches page, you can see just how easy it is to switch branches. Right now, I'm on new branch. If I just double-click on master, I switch branches. This allows me to, stop working on one task, switch over to another, just instantly. Okay? Again, because all of this information is on the local file system, it just populates that data out of the Git repository as quickly as it can read it off your disk. Okay? I can make a change in this other branch, commit it, and just back and forth, very simple, very straightforward, easy to switch branches. Branching is great though, except that it's not very useful to have these parallel lines of development going on unless I can merge them at some point. Merging is also very straightforward in Git. If I go back to the branches page, I can just drop down this merge button, and it'll ask me what branches I want to merge. Okay? There's no wizard here. This isn't as complex as the merging situation is in Team Foundation version control. There's also no requirement that these branches be particularly related. In TFVC, we enforce a number of workflows around merging so that you can only merge to your child or your parent branch. If you have some branch hierarchy where you want to merge to a branch five levels up, you've got to merge to your parent, and to that parent, to that parent, to that parent. And that's not always the way you want your code to flow. Git doesn't enforce any requirements here. I just have two branches. I can merge between them. So I want to merge my change from master into my new branch. I'll click merge, and we have a conflict. And in TFVC, this is always, oh man, I have conflicts. And you get a page of conflicts and you have to sort through them and figure out how to resolve them. In Git, again, because you branch more often and merge more often, you see fewer conflicts. Okay? But we still have a nice interface for handling conflicts, of course. It's the same sort of interface you're used to. I've got this list of conflicts. If I click merge on it, it's going to open it up in the Visual Studio merge editor. Okay. I really like this this merge tool. So I've got the change from each branch side by side, and then the merge result on the bottom. If I prefer side by side view, I can get my changes on each side and the merge result in the middle. And all I have to do is just, you know, check a box to decide which side I want to take. Maybe I want the change from master. If so, I just check its box. Maybe I don't. Maybe I want this change from the new branch. I can check its box. I can take them both. I can make a custom change. Maybe I don't like the way that's formatted. Okay, so I can change right within the editor how my merge result looks. If I hit save, click the accept merge button, that's going to close. It's going to clear out the conflicts. It's going to show that conflict now as resolved. Tell me I have no more remaining conflicts. And once that happens, now I can actually perform the commit, which will finish the merge. Just click that commit merge button. Tell it I have a new commit message. Click commit, and now I've committed that merge locally. Okay. I of course have to share that with the server just like any other commit in order to get that merge performed up on the server. Okay. One of the cool things about merging in Git and how straightforward it is that I don't actually necessarily need to do my merges on the client. I could do a merge on the server. Because everybody's got the same copy of the Git repository, everybody's got the ability to branch, to merge, and that means the server can actually do it for me if I want it to. This opens up an interesting avenue for code review. Code review's always been a little bit tricky. How do I get my changes out of a TFVC workspace into your workspace? Maybe I shelve them, and maybe the code review system doesn't unshelve. What if we're at different versions? It actually gets a little bit complex in managing this scenario. In Git, however, if everybody's got a copy of the repository, if it's very easy to share these commits back and forth, it turns out that that opens up a number of new workflows for sharing code. One of those is something called pull requests, which is what we would encourage you to do for code reviews in Git. Okay, let's say I'm. Let's go back to my master branch. Okay, I made this change in master. Let me go ahead and make another change, and I want to commit this. I want to push it up to the server. I want to create a new branch really quickly first before I do. Okay? So I want to push a new branch to the server. Okay? You can just right-click, new branch. Okay? And now I can, again, go back to my unsynced commits page. I'm sorry. I can go to my branches page, and I want to publish this branch. That'll actually upload it to the server. Right now, it's in unpublished branches. That means it's only locally, only exists locally. If I right-click, publish branch, there we go. Now, if I come back to the server, go to my code tab, just like it was very easy for us to drop down and change the branch that we were on in Visual Studio, it's very easy for me to do that in Visual Studio Online as well. I've got this drop down that says master. Again, that's my default branch. I can easily switch over to change for review. And we can see that that's the branch that I just pushed up. Okay, have some changes from just a few minutes ago. Now, this just exists in its own branch. This isn't in the master branch, but what if my goal is to get it into master? My goal is to get this code reviewed by my peers, have somebody take a look at this, see if it's ready for inclusion in the product to get merged into master. Okay. I go to the pull requests tab up here, and I can create a new code review experience based on this. I click new pull request. It's going to ask me which branch I'm interested in merging. Click that change for review. And I want to merge it into master. I'm able to look at the pull request, make sure that this is the code that I'm interested in submitting before I commit to it. I'm pushing up two commits. Those were the two changes we made. This is the first one, that change of the comment. Second one's above it, another change to the comment. Okay. Click create pull request. And the first thing that happens is that we analyze the changes to see if they are actually mergeable into master. So we actually do the merge, see if it's okay, make sure that there aren't any conflicts. We don't commit the merge. So when you click create pull request, we just make sure that everything works, and then we stop. We don't commit the merge yet to give everybody a chance to review the changes. Okay. But what you do see here is that it does tell me that the pull request can be merged. The other thing you see on the right-hand side is that I have a list of reviewers and that my pull request is currently awaiting approval. So what I want to do now is I want to nominate some reviewers, some people to take a look at my code. I can just type in their names right here. I'll be my own reviewer because, again, I don't have a lot of people working on this project. And what happens then is that in the reviewer area, I've got a thumbs up and a thumbs down. If I'm happy with this code, I give it a thumbs up, tell the person that it's ready to go. If I'm not happy with it, I give them a thumbs down, tell them that it needs some improvement. Okay? Just a real simple way to communicate what's going on with this pull request. Probably if I'm giving a thumbs down, maybe I should make some notes on why I think this is a bad change. At any point in time, as a reviewer, I can go into the code, I can see the code, and I can take a look at what is being proposed. I could also pull this down locally. This is a branch on the server. I could just grab it, take a look at it, build it, test it, all of those things. But I can also comment right here in the web from this view. Again, if we scroll back up, I've got a discussion tab. I can make some comments about the information that I'm seeing. If I want to drill into the code, I can actually leave comments at a line level. I've got this little icon right here. Click to add a comment. That'll open up this text box right at this line. So if I think this particular line of code is bad, I can make a note about it. So this allows me to have a full conversation about a change right there. And this information is all tracked. This is saved inside of the same databases that we use to store all the other information in Team Foundation Server. So you've got really rich reporting on this data. When I'm happy with it, I can click approve, and now you'll notice that instead of the yellow awaiting for approval, now it's a green checkbox saying approved. Once all the reviewers have signed off, I can complete the merge. And now that all those changes now have just been merged into master. Okay? If I go to my code, if I switch back to the master branch and I look at history, you'll notice that those changes were just merged right in. Okay? So a very powerful code review experience that's actually made very simple by the web. How does this all work behind the scenes? We're actually pretty proud of the way we've implemented Git in Visual Studio and Team Foundation Server. When we first started thinking about this, we thought that, well, Git is actually really simple, right? It's very much in the Unix design philosophy where it's a bunch of simple pieces that make a really powerful whole picture when you add them up. And so we thought, hey, wouldn't it be really great if we could put this layer on top of Team Foundation Server that is Git, but it's really backed by TF version control? It turns out that this was horrible. We spent some time on this. We got it working as well as we reasonably could, and we started using it, and we hated it. The differences between Git and TFVC are just too numerous. TFVC has a very different security model than Git. Git has a very different branching model than TFVC. And mapping the two wasn't the best of both worlds. It was the worst of both worlds. So what we actually decided that we had to do was really truly just adopt Git. Visual Studio itself talks directly to Git repositories on disk the same way the Git command line client does. Visual Studio Online hosts real Git repositories. They're not some fake TFVC-backed thing. They're real Git repositories. We've done some interesting things to put them into Azure Blob storage instead of just an on-disk repository like most hosters use. We've got a lot of metadata going on inside SQL Azure. But on the whole, it's just a Git repository. So it was tough for us to figure out how we wanted to do that. We could use Git. Again, Git for Windows. This is the tool that Linus wrote. It's very nice, but we'd have to ship that whole Unix subsystem along with Visual Studio in order to make it work. And we weren't sure we really wanted to do that. Also, the logo is kind of ugly, and I have to look at this every day, and that kind of offends me. We looked at a program called JGit, which is the Java Git implementation, which sounds crazy. Why would we look at JGit for Visual Studio? Somebody took JGit, which is a great implementation, by the way, and converted it to NGit with some automated tool. NGit is the .NET Git. And that kind of offended me, too. I don't really want Java that's been automatically turned into C#, but still looks and feels kind of like Java. And it's kind of ugly, too, its logo. So I didn't really like that. So we looked at libgit2, which is a pure C implementation of Git. Some of its code actually came from Git itself. And it's a great tool. It's got a very beautiful logo, so I don't mind looking at that. And it's got .NET bindings called libgit2sharp. And they work really well. We were really happy with it. The problem with libgit2 was that it just wasn't quite finished yet for using it as a client. It was written primarily, the biggest supporters of libgit2 at the time were GitHub, who were using it on their server. And so it was fast, it was efficient, it was performant, and you couldn't talk to a remote Git repository or do a merge or do a lot of things, unfortunately. So we had this choice. We decided to use libgit2. I'm really happy, really proud of our team. We've contributed back to libgit2. It's an open source project. We've done a lot of work in it. A lot of members of the team have gotten ramped up building this open source project. Really proud of that. Okay. So we talk in Visual Studio. We used to always just talk to the TFVC object model. That was our only source code control tool. Now we use libgit2 and libgit2sharp to talk to a Git repository. That Git repository could be Visual Studio Online or Team Foundation Server on-premises, but our tool in Visual Studio will talk to any Git repository hoster. If you have your repository in GitHub, in CodePlex, we'll talk to that too. There's no reason that you can't talk to another type of Git repository. Okay. There's nothing tying you to Visual Studio Online. It's one of the great things about Git. You can take your code anywhere. You've got full history because that's all in the repository, and you can host it anywhere you want. There's no lock-in to any vendor You know, we want you to use Visual Studio Online because we think it's the best, not because we want to we want to make you use it. Okay. Team Foundation Server is a little bit different. Visual Studio Online and TFS don't always use libgit2 and libgit2 sharp. Like I said, we store a lot of stuff in SQL. Sometimes it's easier to just have a stored procedure spit that out. Sometimes it's easier to just have a cache that's a C-sharp layer instead of actually talking to the repository. We've just got it in memory. Okay, so we often talk to libgit2 to get the job done, but we don't always. And so one of the cool things we did in libgit2 was to give it pluggable databases. Okay, libgit2 by default talks to an on-disk Git repository. We gave it the ability to plug in separate object and reference databases so that you can talk to a Git repository that's hosted in SQL Azure and that has its, you know, its files in Azure Blob Storage. So this was some really cool stuff we were able to do with an open source project that really allows us to deliver a lot of value by putting our repositories in SQL. That's the tables. I would prefer you didn't, you know, crack open your Team Foundation server and start looking right at the SQL, but if you did, there's a lot of information here if you just want to query it. The push log in particular is really a great piece of data. Because Git repositories exist on everybody's computer, everybody's got the ability to commit locally and then push up the data, there's a trust issue involved. Where did this data actually come from? When you check into TFVC, you're authenticating and providing all the information at once. So we know who checked in a bunch of data. When you commit into a Git repository, that just goes to a local hard drive. So we don't necessarily know who created those commits, but we do know who pushed them to the server, because you authenticate when you upload those commits to the server. And so the push log has some interesting data for auditing. The reference log is also a really interesting piece of data. We're doing better about exposing these things. You can see the push log in Visual Studio Online, but the ref log is really cool. This shows, briefly, how the branches change over time. If I push up some commits to a branch, all that stuff is going to go into the ref log. So it's another way to audit what's going on in your repository. Okay. And we'll see more of that auditing coming in future versions of Visual Studio Online. Okay. If you're thinking about adopting Git in your enterprise, I would encourage you to remember that Git is very different than Team Foundation version control. Okay? We've seen how it's similar today. We've seen how Visual Studio Online looks very similar when it's hosting a TFVC repository versus a Git repository. We've seen how working in Visual Studio is very natural in a Git repository. But the mindset shift to start committing locally, to start branching and merging quickly and often, is a real mindset shift. And Visual Studio, the Git integration is fairly new. We're very proud of it. We think we're doing a great job, but we are not done yet. And so a lot of times you'll get into a place where you want to work with a Git repository and you want to use the command line to do it. Okay? So these are things that you can't just change your source control overnight. You know, you want to train your team, you want to make sure that they're comfortable with a switch, because this is what we do as developers. We use our tools all day, every day. You know, if all of a sudden I was using Visual Studio and you gave me Emacs, yeah, they're both text editors. Yeah, they can both, you know, build. But I would not be happy about that switch, right? So what we'd like you to do is find some people in your organization who can build out proofs of concept, who can act as advocates for Git, internally on small teams, have them convince the team, have them be the point persons to help drive adoption. Okay? If you're interested in migrating history, if you've been using Team Foundation Server for years, if you've been using Subversion, any version control system for years, I'm sure that everybody's using version control, okay? It used to be, you know, 10 years ago I'd walk into an audience and have to convince them to use version control. Thankfully, those days have passed. But so now you've got 10 years of version control history, and you want to keep that. It turns out that because the Git object format, the repository format, is so simple, like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of tools to convert between Git and other types of version control systems. There's GitTF to go between Git and TFS. There's GitTFS to go between Git and TFS. There's GitSVN to go between Git and Subversion. And so you can actually take a part of your TFS repository, a part of your Subversion repository, and create a Git repository out of it with history. And it's a pretty accurate translation of history. It's not perfect. Branching and merging, again, is different between Git and TFS, so it's not 100%. But it's very good. If you want to be able to, you know, look at a Git repository and see what happened in the past when it was in TFS, you'll get a pretty good idea of what happened. And this may be very useful. But it's something you have to think about. Do you really need this information? Do you want to keep this information around? Because I would recommend you not turn off that TFS server or that SVN server. You want the actual canonical view of history as it existed back then. Okay? But even with these tools, I would really recommend that if you're going to move to Git, you really move to Git. A lot of people, with some amount of success, use GitTF, use GitSVN on a daily basis. Their version control server is actually TFS or Subversion, and they want to use a Git repository locally. So they use GitTF as a two-way bridge. A lot of people are happy with this situation. And you may like it for yourself, but I would not do this on your team. And I would really not do this on your team and then think that you are using Git, because I don't think you're really getting all the benefits out of it. Again, I kind of think this is a worst of both worlds situation. A lot of people are doing it with success for their particular workflows, but I think on the whole, it doesn't scale. Okay. If you happen to have a large repository, let's say you're Visual Studio, how do you put Visual Studio in Git? All 4 gigabytes of it. First of all, you get the binaries out. NuGet is amazing for this. If you put your binaries as NuGet packages, that's the first easiest way to strip down the size of your repository to a manageable level. Okay? And it's a good best practice anyway. We would like to see you not check binaries into TFVC. We would like you to see NuGet there. The other thing we'd recommend is you componentize your code before you start your migration. Split up a large repository into smaller repositories before you just switch over to Git. Trying to do it all at once is probably pretty difficult. Okay? And once you have adopted Git, of course, we'd love to see you put it in Visual Studio Online. This is the obligatory plug for VS Online. It's free for small teams. If you have an MSDN subscription, you've got access to VS Online. And if you don't, there are affordable monthly plans. I use VSO every day. I love it. Can't speak highly enough about it. Okay. What I hope you've seen is that Microsoft is trying to give you choices in your workflow for building your software. You've got a choice of a source control workflow now. If you have a giant repository, you can do a edit merge commit system or a checkout edit check-in system, or you can do a distributed system if you're smaller, more agile. With Git, we give you a choice in your development process, of course. Out of the box, we support Scrum, Agile, CMMI. If you have an on-prem TFS server, you can customize that. Choice of platforms. The TFS team is very much committed to cross-platform support. Again, we have Mac and Linux clients for TFS. For TFVC, we have Git support. So any Git client, fully compatible with VS Online. And of course, a choice of where you want to host. If you want on-premises, TFS, otherwise you can use Visual Studio Online. We're about out of time. I'm happy to answer questions. After this, I'll be at the Tech Expo at the DevTools booth. So I'm happy to answer questions there. I'm there until lunch. So if you have questions, please come find me. Happy to talk about Git. Otherwise, there are more resources that you can take advantage of. So be sure to check this stuff out. Stop by the Tech Expo booth, Visual Studio Online. So anyway, thank you for your time. I know it was early this morning, and I know that Git is a kind of a complex topic, so I really appreciate everybody stopping by. And again, if you would please fill in your evaluations. Apparently the TechEd mobile app is offline, so you have to do it from a PC, but this is a really big value for us. I look at every evaluation that comes in. I read all the notes. So if there was something you were happy with, something you were unhappy with, please let me know. My manager, he looks at the aggregate score, so, you know, hint, hint. But do please fill out an evaluation. And thanks so much for your time. I appreciate everybody coming in.